Radhaya Madhavo Devo Madhavay Naiva Radhika. Vibrajante Janeshu. Among all persons, it is Sri Radha, in whose company Lord Narada is especially glorious, as she is especially glorious in his. Tanka Chen Nature Rangana Kriti Kripa Vimcha Purakan Vipa Guryaste Yogiva Nanda Samputa. One gopi took the Lord through the aperture of her eyes and placed him within her heart. Then, with her eyes closed and her bodily hair standing on end, she continuously embraced him within. Thus immersed in transcendental ecstasy, she resembled a yogi meditating upon the Lord. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Paramityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's a very special part of Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the chapters dealing with the rasa dance, which is the most intimate of Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes, and the most elevated, most glorious of those pastimes. It is stated in Nectar of Devotion by Purusamita Sindhu that four particular qualities distinguish Lord Krishna from other forms of himself, like Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, and some of these different expansions and incarnations and so on of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the person of Lord Krishna himself, these four particular qualities are displayed, which are not displayed in the other forms. So first of all, he has a special standard of beauty, which other forms of himself do not display. Even though, of course, they're all very wonderful, very beautiful, very glorious in so many ways. But the beauty of Lord Krishna is far beyond their beauty. Any form of the Lord is very beautiful, even though some, like Lord Nrsingadev, in certain respects might be considered to not be so beautiful, particularly when he's just killed Hiranyakashipu and has armed himself with the demon's intestines. Then, of course, the faint-hearted, or not spiritually minded, not Krishna conscious, might find this all rather ghastly and shocking, but actually, the devotees find the Lord very beautiful, very, very beautiful, in this particular form. And all the forms, Lord Rama, Lord Narayan has different features. They're all very beautiful, captivating, compared to people who we have had association with in this lifetime, or generally in any lifetimes within the material world, even when or if perhaps we were in the heavenly planets, where people look far more attractive than even the most beautiful and more handsome people on this planet. But still, none of them compare even slightly in terms of beauty with Lord Narayana. But Lord Narayana, he can hardly compare with Lord Krishna in terms of beauty. Then Lord Krishna also has special characteristic that he plays the flute in most amazing ways, in the most amazing ways. Of course, there are many flute players. Even we are probably familiar with a number ourselves and our lives. And some of them are very clever and can make very fine and attractive music, but not like the flute playing of Lord Krishna. That flute playing is so outstanding, so extremely extraordinary, that sometimes when people hear it, they become stunned. They cannot move for a period of time. Even as described, the cows in Vrindavan, when they hear the sound of the flute, they become stunned and motionless and just fixed in whatever position they may have been when they first heard that sound. So it was described that they may look like painted pictures, totally transfixed, absolutely on the spot. So this flute playing is most wonderful. And as we said, there are many flute players. Even Lord Narayana himself plays the flute sometimes. But not like Krishna. There's that famous pastime in which, well, actually part of this whole pastime which is going on here at the Rasadas. The Rasadas, that pastime unfolds in different beaches. There are different stages and phases that the pastime goes through. And one of them is that Krishna disappears from the arena suddenly, and the gopis just find themselves, set themselves, just abandoned, perhaps right when they least expected something like that to happen. So naturally they became very, very transcendentally disturbed. So, they were trying to find Krishna, and Lord Narayana was watching from above, and he felt very compassionate for the gopis, appreciating them as very wonderful devotees and very wonderful girls. So Lord Narayana felt very concerned, and he was thinking, what can I do? Perhaps I can help. Then he thought that, actually, I am practically the same as Krishna. I'm more or less the same as hardly any real difference. I can play the flute too. And I have a blackish blue body. So let me go down and appear in the path of the gopis as there. Passing through the forest of the Krishna, let me just appear in front of them, play the flute, and I will, my extra 2 arms, because he has 4, the extra 2 arms I'll just hide behind my back. Hopefully they won't notice. And then, when they see me, they will think it is Krishna. Probably. These extreme feelings of separation which they are experiencing, they will then subside and they will feel okay. Surely Krishna will come along after a while and then it will all be finished. So he did that. He stood right there in the path just as they were about to come around the corner, standing there in the same threefold bending form as Krishna playing on the flute. playing his best on the flute, with a peacock feather, and generally, he really looked the part as much as he could. And the verdict came, and suddenly, right in front of them, there was. Of course, momentarily, their tendency was to think it's Krishna. But then, just after that initial moment that just passed just like that, then they noticed it's not Krishna. Not Krishna plays the flute better than that. And Krishna is more beautiful. Shishi Radha Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Giri Govardhan Ki. Krishna's more beautiful even though he's almost, but not the same, just not the same. And then they realize, it is Lord Narayana. It is Lord Narayana. So there was a second or two of just some sort of confusion before they concluded, this is Lord Narayana. Disguising himself as Krishna. So they just ran up to the Lord Narayana and just offered their obeisances and just jumped up in front of him and said, Namo Narayana, we offer our obeisances to Lord Narayana. And the intensity of their consciousness, their emotions, and they were just right in front of him, just practically surrounding him. The Lord Narayana, Lord Narayana, can you tell us, where's Krishna? The impact of all this upon Lord Narayana was so powerful, he dropped the flute. His other two arms just popped out from behind his back, and he was shaking. You know, just like someone sometimes approaches you in some very strong mood, and you're taken aback. So he was just so much taken aback. And then, he, in his somewhat bewildered state, he then tried to indicate where Krishna was, or we thought Krishna was, with his four hands pointing in different directions simultaneously, saying, I think he's here, or there, somewhere. And they said, thank you, Lord, and just left. And he was left on his own to pick up his flute from the ground. So, yes. So, yes, we're talking about the flute player, that Lord Krishna's flute player. And beauty, they're just in their own category. Their own categories. Lord Balaram actually is in the same category. But no one else. So then, the third and most fourth special qualities, which only Krishna himself has, the third is that he is surrounded by loving associates who possess love for him far more than the love that the associates of other forms of himself have for those particular forms who they have their specific relationships with. Of course, those loving relationships that the devotees have are with any form of faith, the loving emotions, the love, the depth and richness of those relationships, compared to the depth and the richness of the relationships that we have, particularly the material relationships, spiritual relationships. Well, you know, they're at least it's in the same sort of realm. But the material relationships between husband, wife, boy, girl, parents, children, friends, and so on, all these relationships which we are all familiar with, and which, of course, sometimes people become very engrossed in, and very deeply engrossed in, even to the point that they sometimes find it very, very hard to become detached from those relationships. But the depth and richness of those relationships, they are nothing compared to the depth and richness of the relationships and the emotions and experiences which are there in the relationships that the devotees of any form of the Lord have with their particular Ishtadeva, that particular form of the Lord who they have their eternal relationship with. But then, the relationships that the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, the love they have for Krishna, those devotees in Vrindavan, compared even to the love that those other associates have with their particular forms of the Lord, that love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan is in a category of its own altogether. And even at the end of Brihadaratamrita, Gokula, the central character, he goes back to Goloka Vrindavan, and he enters such a relationship himself, and he enters the company of all the rich Vasis who have had for so long, eternally, had relationships like that with Krishna. So he experiences all of this, and it is most, most amazing. But then, his service is that part of his service is he goes up and down between the Goloka Vrindavan and the spirit planet, up and down. So he, when he's speaking Brihadaratamrita, he's here on this planet Earth, in Vrindavan on this planet, and he's explaining to one of the devotees that when I go up and down, I pass by the different planets, even the Vaikuntha planets, and I pass by sometimes, I observe and see what is going on, how the devotees are, what they're doing with the Lord, and I observe on the Vaikuntha planets what's going on. And so Gokula says, when I go past Vaikuntha, those Vaikuntha planets, and I see those devotees having their loving exchanges with Lord Narayan in his different forms, then I observe the loving emotions, what they are feeling towards the Lord, and then I think, what about the feelings, the loving emotions of the devotees of Goloka? And then when I remember that, and then I look at those Vaikuntha Vasis, residents of Vaikuntha again, and I observe their emotions again, then Gokula says that when I do that, it appears to me that they're actually invisible. They're invisible. Now, of course, that so-called misery, compared to what we are experiencing in Chatsworth, at least those who are not denoting us, particularly. That so-called misery, which is actually the loving emotions of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, which God says compared to the loving ecstasy of the inhabitants of Vrindavan looks like misery. But that so-called misery compared to what people are undergoing here, just in their ordinary lives, what to speak of when they actually get into some misery, when something goes wrong. Thus, that misery if I could compare to the ongoing experiences of people in this world, it is just like what people are experiencing here is just even beyond misery. It's just like absolutely hellish, suicidal type of condition or something of that sort. Just intolerable, abominable condition of horrific suffering. But the people in Chatsworth at the Checkers Shoprite Center, window shopping and so on, they're thinking they're having a good time hanging out at the Checkers. But, according to Govind Kumar, it is just like so extremely horrible that one should probably not even talk about it. It's too much. So that was another one. Then the fourth is, which is the particular point here, the pastimes. The pastimes of Lord Krishna and Narayana Vrindavan compared even to the pastimes of Lord Narayana and Vaikuntha and the various other expansions in their Vaikuntha realms. The pastimes of Lord Krishna, they are outstanding. Again, completely in a different category. You cannot say they're 20% better, you know, sort of noticeably better to a reasonable degree, or 50% better. You cannot even say they're twice as nice. They're just in a different category altogether. And it's very hard to make a real comparison. So this is described in Nectar of Devotion. You can read it there. And it's very nice. And there is a little elaboration about each one. Some example is given to illustrate. So when it comes to these beautiful pastimes, then Krishna is quoted. Srila Rupa Goswami is quoted Krishna as saying that I relish these pastimes so much, but of all the pastimes, the rasa dance is the best. Yes. Actually, it says that his childhood pastimes, but then he is quoted as saying that the rasa dance. So yes, this rasa dance, we are reading about the rasa dance here. And it is such a wonderful pastime, most unique pastime. Even all the pastimes of Krishna are beyond any of the pastimes of any of the other forms of the world. But amongst all those pastimes of Krishna, the rasa dance is the supreme. So here at the point, well, there has been a series of verses without purports. Were those read? They were all read. Okay. So there's been a series of verses in which six other gopis have been mentioned. This is the seventh. And in those verses, those other six gopis have been described as displaying particular emotional, particular attitudes and doing particular things in the different features of the conjugal mood in the course of the Rasa Dancing. Well, particularly here, Lord Krishna has just reappeared or returned, having disappeared and thrown them into great transcendental distress. He has now reappeared. And so different of the gopis are relating with him in different ways. Some are happy, some are, well, they're all happy, some are obviously happy, some are not obviously happy, in fact they appear unhappy, cross with Krishna, how dare you just treat us like this, and so on, that type of mood. And here, seven, the seven including this one, are referred to Chandravani, Shama, Shaivya, Padma, Sri Radha, Lalita, and Vishaka. In the purport of the previous verse, it is pointed out that that particular gopi was Srimati Radharani. Who this one is not specifically stated, but the first one, well, some of them were a little cross. Some of them were happy, I mean, obviously happy, and different moods manifested at different activities in terms of those moods, because that world of the conjugal rasa is a most extremely diverse, complex realm where it is not just love, just one thing. It is love, but it is multifaceted in the extreme. So many different moods, so many different attitudes, so many different activities. Some of the gopis, as we mentioned, they were all happy, but some of them, they couldn't hide their happiness. It just came flooding out, and so they smiled and responded very positively with Krishna. So perhaps these are what they call the right-wing gopis. Chandravani, some of these gopis mentioned here, well, Chandravani is mentioned, others like Shaivya, Padma, they are in her group, they are right-wing gopis, which means they're very submissive, very gentle, they do whatever Krishna says, usually. They never argue, they never get angry, and if Krishna does something which could be interpreted as being against them, like criticizing them or abandoning them, then they simply become disappointed and cry. They don't become angry. But then there are the left-wing gopis who are headed by Srimati Radharani. And as described in one of these verses here, one gopi, beside herself with loving anger, bit her lips and stared at him with frowning eyebrows, as if to wound him with her harsh glances. Sometimes they say if words could kill, sometimes they say if looks could kill. As if there is some actual animation, some actual potency, somehow in the simple function of looking, some energy is in fact being distributed through the simple act of just looking, if you look in a certain way. Well, of course, we know on the transcendental platform it is actually like that sometimes. Lord Mahavishnu, he glances over the, put down the inert material energy, and in that glance is actually, well, it is actually alive. It is a person, so we should not even say it. This is Lord Shiva. The original form of Lord Shiva is that glance, the glance itself. And within that glance, in other words, within that particular form of Lord Shiva, there are certain things which are within that. Through being within his body, they therefore, when he contacts material energy, they via him, they enter the material energy. It's all a little complicated. But it's like that. That the glass ceases to just be some function of the body and takes on a life and a potency of its own. So those glances of the gopis and of Krishna towards the gopis towards Krishna, they have the life of their own, and in that case, perhaps that was, well, it must have been one of the left-wing gopis, because sometimes they get angry with Krishna or apparently like that. Actually, as the verse said, it is a loving moment. It is not like when we get angry and sometimes, anyway, when we get angry, then there's no love, and it's just selfishness that you disappointed me, and therefore I am, my attitude towards you is now negative. But in this case, it's a loving glance. The mood is loving, or apparently it's angry. So, the thing is that that conjugal rasa is very complex, actually. And even here in the purport, our commentators have mentioned Ujjvala Lila Mani Vashina Rupi Goswami. And in that book, after having in Bhakti Rasamrita Siddha, our nectar of devotion, after having described the development of Krishna consciousness from the beginning to the topmost level of the conjugal love of the gopis, ultimately, and through everything else in between, through the course of nectar of devotion, having done all that and presented the conjugal rasa as the topmost, then in Ujjvala Lila Mani, Srila Rupa Goswami has elaborately analyzed the conjugal rasa. And in the course of doing that, he has made it clear that he is just touching the surface of it, giving some examples while indicating other, many, many other features which are related but somewhat different in case of the various aspects, main aspects which he discusses. So here though, the point is coming out that these seven, and there is an eighth who is Vajra. These eight, they have a special position amongst all the gopis. This is being illustrated by the fact that as soon as Krishna appears on the scene again and everyone sees him, all the gopis see him, then these seven approach him. And the purport says, their status allowed them to approach Krishna. That it was natural in that association of so many gopis, it was natural. They are like the seniors. And the seniors are always allowed to go first, and the juniors, at least the juniors who understand how to relate with seniors, the juniors will naturally encourage them to go forward and would not consider going forward before they went forward. So like this, in a very natural way, those, at least those seven, or perhaps the whole eight. The eight is not specifically referred to here, but those seven or eight, they just naturally immediately came forward to have the first exchanges with Krishna as he, when he had returned. So the purport there, the focus there is particularly on Srimati Radharani, that this is all very well, there are these eight, and they have their natural status amongst the other 3 billion or so. But amongst those eight, out of all the 3 billion, out of all the devotees of all types, Srimati Radharani is the most prominent. And even, again, it is not just like 10% more, so it's a little noticeable, or 20% more, so it's quite noticeable, or even double, so it's very noticeable. But Radharani herself, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, describes that Srimati Radharani says that I know that my love for Krishna is so great compared to the love of the other gopis, of all the other gopis, that my love is like Mount Meru, but their love is like a mustard seed. This is Radharani herself saying this. It is not a lack of humility, but it is an objective analysis that she is in her own category so much that we cannot, like you said, we cannot say 20% better, 50% better, or double, which is a lot better, or triple, or 10 times, or 50 times. Yes, she is so unique. And Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, he, even though he is Swaraj, Purna, he is complete in himself and completely independent. And he needs no one to give him support or encouragement or to be there even for some embellishment or anything like that. He is absolute in his completeness. But when Srimati Radharani is with him, then he becomes completely complete. And everything becomes to the ultimate of perfection. So therefore, one literature is quoted here very nice. It's a supplement to the Rig Veda. We read the little excerpt. Rig Parishishta Radhaya Madhava Devo Madhavenaiva Radhika Vibrajante Janeshu, which all means, among all persons, it is Sri Radha, in whose company Lord Madhava is especially glorious, as she is especially glorious in his. So Radharani occupies that unique position that whereas other gopis, they embellish, they act like embellishments on Krishna. They act like embellishments. He is already wonderful, but then when they are added in his company, then that's very nice. That's something nice. But perhaps not absolutely critical. But Srimati Radharani, her position as a devotee, her qualities and her character as a devotee, her love for Krishna, this is all on such an unlimited scale that that even though Krishna, in certain respects, certain senses, is absolutely complete independently and doesn't need anything else, but the picture only becomes fully complete when Radha Rani is there. And when she is there, then every quality in Krishna becomes enhanced to the nth degree. So of course this is all beyond our small minds. In fact, this is part of a realm of knowledge which is well beyond all of which is beyond our little minds. Even one time one devotee asked Chila Prabhupada, I remember he came and told us after he had asked Chila Prabhupada. Can you tell us? He said, you know, I just asked Chila Prabhupada that it is stated somewhere that all the planetary systems are within this universe. They're all within the stare of the lotus that is coming from the navel of Gaudiya Vishnu and on top of which Lord Brahma is sitting. So this is stated, the devotee was saying to Prabhupada, and then he asked, so, how are we to understand this? Srila Prabhupada said, this is too much for your puppy brain. So if that is too much for our puppy brains, then to really get so much of an idea of what is the extent, the different aspects and characteristics of Radharani's love for Krishna, well, this is just way beyond us. But of course, to some degree, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, through that Maya medium of Paramahara, then we can get some little insight and little respects, and it's very nice. So we should try to appreciate this as far as we can. Appreciate how glorious is Srimati Radharani, how glorious is her love for Krishna, how complete is that, and then we should try and take shelter of her lotus feet very submissively, very humbly, praying for her mercy, and just praying to her that I don't even know exactly what I should understand if I don't understand it, but please help me to understand what I should understand so I can progress and do some useful service to your beloved Lord Krishna. Then I think she will appreciate that prayer if we pray sincerely in that way. And this will help us very much to progress in our Krishna consciousness by her mercy. Any comments or questions? Maharaj, please give us some mercy. Any other comments or questions? Srila Prabhupada.